You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Joy to be with you this evening, church. What a wonderful, wonderful moment that we've had already in the service, and I'm just excited to see where God takes it. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for just the joy it is to be able to come together as a community in unity to worship you in your holy name, Lord. We just pray that tonight you would just take this service where you want it, Lord. We pray that we would open our eyes to what you are trying to teach us, and we would open our hearts and our minds to the things of you, Lord. So we love you, we are your humble servants, and in everything we want to do, we want to lift our eyes towards you. In your holy, holy name, amen. Amen. I'm very excited. I think today it's a message that's been on my heart for a little bit, as we'll get into the reasons why. But when I was asked to speak tonight, I was worrying about what maybe God has been showing me, what's been on my mind recently that might be right to share. And I can confirm what's been on my mind a lot is houses. My husband and I have just recently bought our first home. And so that's very exciting. We get the keys at the end of the month. So we've got all our plans. We're ready to go. But also I do need to preface that we are currently packing. A lot of things are in boxes. So if I do come to church with two odd shoes and summer clothes when it's 12 degrees, that's probably because my winter clothes are packed away and I can't find them. But we're very excited. But yes, we have been looking since April. So a long time of looking for houses. And as I'm sure a lot of you can know, it's very grueling looking for a house. Lots of Saturdays are taken up by potential houses, trying to gauge who wants it, reading the section 32, like I know why it's important and what it means, playing games with the real estate agents, trying to tell you that a house with a self-made non-permit deck has potential. But it's important when you're looking for a house that you find somewhere that you feel safe and secure. That's somewhere that feels like you and your family. It's a place that will hold your memories, your family, your friends, and of course, you. It's the place that you come back to after a very long day of work and you sit on your couch and you go, so it needs to be a place that is good. And also, the structure is good in itself. Now, myself, I love a good metaphor. This is probably what Matt said when he was talking about creativity. Metaphors are just things that I use. It helps my brain just like switch on. For instance, the last metaphor I used, I was trying to talk to my Christian studies class about Esau, and I told them to picture a very buff, hairy Ed Sheeran. It worked very, very well, and now they always remember when I ask them. But metaphors are such a powerful thing in our spiritual walk as well. Something to visualize a theme, a piece of knowledge, an idea to help it stick in our brain for later. Now, there are many metaphors that I could have chosen tonight to work with. And I believe this is because God wants us to see him in everything. And he is the creator of all things. So how could we not see him in everything? In the flowers that we walk by, the gardens that we nurture, the roaring fires, and even in the mundanes. The cooking and creating something out of nothing. The laundry, making something clean that was once dirty, and even Australia Post delivering the good news that your package has arrived. But today, with our relationship with God, I'd love to talk about it from the perspective of a house. So obviously that's been on my mind, but I thought we'd talk about it today as a church. I want to build a house together, metaphorically, bit by bit, and describe how each part of the process works in unity. Then I want to talk a little bit more about the importance of caring for the house and practically how we can do that. So obviously, if there are any builders in the room, if I don't get this perfect, please teach me afterwards. I love that. But I've given it my best crack. But when building a house, of course, you need to make sure that each step is done with care and precision to ensure that the house will stand. You need to make sure it's structurally safe. Each step of the house, if it's not properly finished, could sabotage the whole build itself. So you need to make sure that when we're building a house, each step is done well, it's thought about, And so it means that all together it can work cohesively and stand strong. So to start off our house build, we need a foundation. So I've also used the wonderful ChatGPT, the online robots, to create a bit of a house for me. So hopefully this gives you a bit of a visualization of our metaphor that we are working with. So the stumps or a concrete slab, that is the supporting of our house. That is what I want to see as our faith. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's the trust we have. It's what we fall back on when times are uncertain. Our relationship with God relies on a solid foundation, our faith in Him. In Hebrews 11, it speaks of people who demonstrated key examples of faith in their trust in God. The chapter builds up overwhelming evidence that a life of faith is the only real way to live with God. The writer repeats the phrase, by faith, quite a lot, to drive the main message into the minds and the hearts of the readers. So Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then in the scripture, it talks about multiple different people, list by list by list. And I encourage you, if you're struggling with your faith and needing evidence of how God has pulled people through moments of struggle, go to Hebrews 11. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. In 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith is how we build our relationship with God. Our faith needs to be the strongest point of our lives so that we can fall back on our faith in times of need. Now, our next step for building our house is the framing of the house, the structure and the bones. This is what I like to see as our identity in Christ, our core truths. There you go. Look at that. So our identity, core truths. God loves me. I am saved. I am a child of God. I am worthy of love. I imagine each beam of this frame just being another core truth, another truth that God tells us in the Bible. We build upon these truths. They give us the structure of who we are as Christians. Our identity is who we are, and we are all children of God. In a world so inundated with labels, new identities, it is crucial that we look after the framing of our house, that we put on the armor of God every day and remind ourselves, I am a child of God. We remind ourselves of that truth, and the world cannot take that away from us. Romans 8, 15 to 16, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How wonderful is that? Now, our next step is adding the walls. Now, these help define the rooms in our house and give it a bit of shape. These are our spiritual disciplines, our prayer life, worship, giving and generosity, our Bible reading, good godly friendships, and our community. In a home, walls help distinguish spaces. You wouldn't go into your kitchen to have a nap. So similarly, spiritual disciplines help us define our priorities, setting apart time for worship, prayer, study, and community. Make sure that we do each one of those because each one of them are vitally important for our faith. The roof, the next step, represents God's covering and protection, keeping us safe and reminding us He is our refuge, that over everything in our lives, He is with us and protecting us. I didn't have this in my notes, but one thing that I love about this roof as well is that it's pointed upwards and it's pointing up directly towards God. And I think in everything that we do, we need to make sure that our eyes are focused towards God and understanding that everything that we do as Christians should point back to our Heavenly Father. Psalm 91, 1 to 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then in 9 to 10, it says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague comes near your tent. And I love this psalm because it just speaks with confidence in our Heavenly Father. It speaks of confidence in the works of our God, who will provide shelter for us as we take refuge in him. Now the doors, this is how we share our faith with other people. We open the doors, we invite them into our lives to evangelize, but also have community. We need to make sure that we invite others to share our faith and be hospitable. We were created to have a community around us, and we know that when two or three are gathered, God is there. The windows, they give us perspective, allow us to see the world through God's eyes and through his scripture. And now, lastly, the power for your house. This is what I'd love to see as the Holy Spirit. Not seen, the wires are all tucked underneath in the drywall and the plaster, but it is everywhere in your house. When called upon, illuminating, it is there, being a helper and a source of power. Without the Holy Spirit, we are operating in darkness. So, what is the point of this metaphor? All well and good. We've built a wonderful house, probably going to go for about 1.2. So what's the point? you can tell that I've been burned. but as Christians, sometimes we get comfortable in our own routines, in our own homes, and where we are in our walk with God. But how often do we stop and reflect on our lives and check if there's anything wrong? How often do we stop, think about our relationship with God, and then how we can improve it? Now, no matter how hard I try to slow down, I feel as though the world is always speeding off without me. Whether I try not to be on my phone as much, maybe I miss a text, maybe I miss a call. As much as I want to slow down and be in the presence of God, I feel like something is always pulling me away. We're talking about being overwhelmed and underdone in this world. This is what we live in. How often do we stop and we pause and we just ask God, all right, what do I need to do differently? What are you trying to teach me in this moment? And I really want to encourage us tonight, church, as we understand this metaphor for a house, what our relationship of God looks like with him, how can we actually question our relationship with God, not in a negative way, but in a way that protects us, but then also helps us grow as well? How can we ask God questions so that we can help our house build, help it be stronger, but then also protect it from things outside? How often when we're talking to someone and they say, how are you? You say, yeah, good, how are you? All the time. If you work in customer service, that's just your bread and butter. But how often when someone asks you, how are you? Do you say, let me think about that. Let's stop and think about that question. How are we? What could we be doing differently? If we go back to our metaphor, it tells us about the importance of checking the state of your house. Is there any damage? Is your house protected from the things outside trying to come in? Are there any cracks, open windows where the enemy is trying to infiltrate? We want to grow, sustain, and protect our house rather than just sitting and being comfortable. So I'd like to look at two different types of questions that will hopefully allow you to stop and reflect on your walk with God, reflect on your spiritual house, and if any changes need to be made. So the first set of questions I'd like to look at is questions that help us grow. These questions help us dig deeper foundations and allow us to, of course, grow closer to God. For instance, these questions can be, what does this passage mean? How can I apply this to my life right now? Am I working on my spiritual disciplines enough? What is God teaching me in this season? Questions are important. If your teachers ever told you there is no such thing as a silly question, they are correct. All questions are good questions. Questions help us find the truth and learn it for ourselves rather than adopting preconceived ideas we've gathered from somewhere else. Luke 2:46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. This is talking about Jesus here. The early life of Jesus, when they were trying to find him, they found his son, their son, sitting, talking to the religious leaders and asking questions. If our Messiah was asking questions, we should also be asking questions. He took on the role of a student and learnt. In John 3, Nicodemus is seen after dark one night with Jesus, asking him questions, saying things like, "What does this mean? And how are these things possible?" Even Nicodemus, who is saturated in religious knowledge, asked questions. Questions grow our faith and our trust in God. They make our foundation stronger and stronger. They ensure we are always taking a step forward with our God and not a step back. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. These questions are also important to share with others. Ask church members, mentors, your small group, and discuss together. But it's important when we're asking these questions with one another that we do it to learn and not simply to be correct. Sometimes we can get too carried away with trying to explain our opinions on a piece of passage that we actually don't get to learn from each other. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have no love, I am nothing." We can ask questions, but make sure that we do it in love. Be a person who asks questions and not a person who only shares answers. Be humble in the fact that all of us need to ask questions no matter our age, gender, or job. If Jesus asked questions, we too should ask questions. And the next set of questions that I'd love to talk about are questions to protect. These types of questions are vital to protect our spiritual homes. We ask questions to guard ourselves from deception, sin, temptation, and the ways of the enemy. Questions like, is this idea biblical or merely just cultural? Is this God speaking to me or is this my flesh? Why did I react that way? Is there something deeper going on that I'm not actually aware of? Is this thought bringing life or death? It's our job to find the weak spots, the lies we've let in, and fix it, to be proactive in our faith. A building in pest, if you will, which are very expensive. Now back to our search for a house. There were a few that we went to that were definitely not contenders. You could sort of tell by the way that you stepped in the house and went, "Ooh, all right, maybe this is not the one." But we went to one in particular, and it was a bit of a doozy. It was on stumps and quite a hill. So as you gradually went deeper into the house, you actually went deeper into the house as well. So I grabbed a kumquat from a tree, which I think is the only use for them, and I put it on the deck, and then I paused, I let it go, and I just watched it roll away from me at top speed. And then Rowan, my husband, decided to look underneath the house while everyone was enjoying the garden and the views. And then all of a sudden, I just heard like a little chuckle. And I was like, "What's that?" And he said, have a look, Maddie. And we took a photo. So I'd love it if we can have a look at the photo of the stumps underneath the house. As you can tell, there is a plank of wood holding up a plank of wood that's holding up another plank of wood, and then there's another one at the back. This was at the very front of the manhole, so I don't want to know what is happening all the way at the back. So it was quite bad. Now, we have a lot of wonderful chippies in our life, and so we texted our mate Steve and said, "Hey, what do you think of this house? What do you think of this?" This is what Steve's response was. Run so fast. And we did. We didn't end up purchasing the house, praise God. But it just shows you the foundations of a house are so important. Like, as much as we can laugh and it's silly that we look at that photo and go, "How the heck did that happen?" Like, I wonder, like, did the owners one day just walk outside and go, "Honey, I'm sinking into my garage"? Like, surely if you drive your car in, you would know that you're driving downhill. But sometimes these things don't happen all of a sudden overnight. The changes happen little bit by little bit by little bit. centimeter by centimeter, meter, millimeter, these changes happen. And then all together, when you see it stacked up, it makes quite a difference. The enemy will do small things in our life, little things to separate us from God. When all put together, they make a large impact. So why do we not focus on the small things that are separating us from Him? What habits have we fallen into? What temptation, what sin do we repeat? Because we don't think it's causing that much damage. Think about the movies that we're watching, the scenes that we're allowing into our brains. We can say, I can watch violent videos and movies, it's fine. It doesn't bother me anymore. I'm desensitized. But are you sure? Are you really sure that that is not making an impact on you and your relationship with God? Think about the songs we listen to, the small bits of gossip we participate in at work. It's harmless. It's fine. The lies that we tell because it just makes life easier. The jealousy or the comparison that we allow to stick in our train of thought for longer than it should. We think it's only small, but what is it doing to your foundation? Centimeter by centimeter, little bit by little bit, it makes an impact. How is the enemy trying to separate us from our Heavenly Father? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." 1 Peter 5:8 to 9, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." We need to protect our spiritual house. And I really want to encourage you tonight, church, that the things that we do in our life make an impact. And that's not meant to be a scary thing. That's just meant to be a thing of reality. The little conversations that we have make an impact, good or bad. The decisions that we make have an impact. We need to make sure that as much as we can, we turn our eyes towards our Heavenly Father and do things for Him. And we think, we stop, we pause in the busy life we are and we go, is that the right choice? Is that the right decision? Is this building my spiritual house? Or is it taking it apart bit by bit? We need to protect our spiritual house. We are always going to be under attack in one way, shape, or form. And that's our reality. We need to question ourselves, not from the perspective of doubt, but from the perspective of protecting your faith. When we put our faith in God, our foundation is stronger than ever. Even though it's windy outside, we know that our foundation of our church is strong. I know it's good. These bricks have been here for a long, long time. Look at that, hey? But we need to rely on our Heavenly Father. Stand firm in that. But I would like to add as well that there are sometimes moments in our life that truly shake us to our core. Moments where even though our foundation is firm and strong in God, the wind and rain are fierce and relentless. We will face moments that try to shake our faith. The enemy will throw everything he can at us to break our foundations and our trust in God. But I encourage you to stand firm on the understanding that our God is our strength and refuge. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God will never change or waver. He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to understand that He is a good God and He is always looking out for us. We may have battles. We may have moments where we just feel like, God, are you there? But we need to stop and pause and look back to Him. Like our house points upwards, bring your eyes to our Heavenly Father. God will never change. Have confidence in your walk with God and have confidence in the foundation that you've built with Him side by side, hand in hand, that your house will stand strong regardless of what you face. In Romans 8, 38 to 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How incredible is that? that we get to read this scripture, this truth, and we get to proclaim that over ourselves, that we are saved, we are loved, and we are protected in all things. So my question tonight is, how are you doing? As simple as that. How are you doing? How is your relationship with God? I want you to take a moment to stop and pause and actually just ask God. Have a moment with Him and just ponder. Give yourself that time to assess your faith, assess your identity, assess your ability to invite people into your home. Are you giving? Are you having community? Are you shutting yourself away? How are your foundations? Are you putting your strength in things of the world, in money and your job, or are you putting your foundation in God? I'd love to invite the worship team up just for a little bit at the end, and I'd love to just have a moment of reflection as a church to be able to sit and to pause and reflect on a few questions about our life and our spiritual walk. I've got a few questions that I'd like us to look at tonight, if we can pop those on the screen. First question, looking at the foundation, how is your faith in God? It's simple. It's a simple question, but such an important question. The framing of your house, is your identity found in Christ or in worldly things? What is the structure of your house? Are you relying on things of the world rather than the things of God? How are your spiritual disciplines? Are there any certain rooms in your house collecting dust? Your prayer life, your intimate worship at home, your giving, your community, how are those aspects of your discipline going? Or maybe are you neglecting a few of them and you need to get back into it? Do you need to remind yourself that God is your protector and provider? Are you trying to do things in your own strength rather than allowing God to do that for you? Are you sharing your faith with others? Are you in a small group? Are you in a community? Are you serving? How can you share your faith? Do you need to look at a part of your life from another perspective? And are you utilizing the Holy Spirit in your life? Are the lights in your house turned off? You're trying to walk in the dark, but why don't you turn the light on with the help of the Holy Spirit, the helper, to guide you through it?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.